Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Lord, we need to hear from you this morning, Lord. We, in a desperate way, Lord, so much going on in the world today, a dark, fallen, decaying, broken world, and we have your word, Lord. So we're asking now, speak to us through your word. Give us guidance. Give us instruction. Thank you for giving us hope. Give us confidence, everything that we need. Give us comfort, Lord. Give us peace. Give us strength. Everything that you are comes through your word, because you are your word, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Speak right to our hearts. Then let us live and apply what we've heard from the Holy Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Continue to lead and guide this service, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through this fallen world daily. So we bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, family, we always start off with how many. We have a little game for our visitors. How many of you have not eaten? Well, I believe I said that. You have eaten yet? Okay. Well, I hope you've taken advantage of the praying and fasting during the worship this morning, during the prayer time. Based on that scripture, it's based on Mark 9:29. We don't raise our hands on this one, but how many of you went over, at least don't raise your hand, over the worship scriptures, 1 Chronicles 29:10-5, Revelation 5:11-14, and Revelation 7:9-12. And how many of you took time to read at least one of the Proverbs this week? Remember, the Proverbs are replacing the horoscope, the fortune cookie, and the super lotto. When reading God's daily word, I heard, wow, not the super lotto, Pastor. Yes, it's replacing that. We trust in the word of God, not the super lotto or the horoscope. We have to be more excited about God's word than the horoscope and what it says. We don't do it because it's a religious activity, but because it's a relationship opportunity. We need to know God daily. Do not waste a day that you could spend with God doing something else. It's as good as it gets, spending time with God. Remember, God isn't looking for perfection. You don't have to get yourself together to speak to God. God's not looking for perfection. He is looking for connection. So you don't have to be perfect to talk to God, but you do need to spend time with God so you can stay connected. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we come from the book of Revelation because it talks about how Jesus is coming quickly. And that's how we got into the book of Thessalonians in 4:16. Quick review before we get into today's lesson. Are we at 1 Thessalonians 4:16? It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be, so shall we always be with the Lord." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verse 18 says, "Wherefore comfort, encourage, strengthen one another with these words." In other words, it's saying keep your life in biblical perspective with the word of God and with the hope that Jesus Christ is coming back. And that seems like it's so far off, but then as we're getting ready to read, we're going to see that it's closer than we might think it is. But that word comfort is the same word as, well, it comes from the same word. It's in the Greek is parakaleo, where we get the paraclete from, which is the Holy Spirit. So it's saying we should comfort one another just like the Holy Spirit comforts us. We should comfort one another. We should teach. We should encourage. We should strengthen, reassure each other with the word of God, and especially these words that Jesus Christ is coming back. Put our lives in biblical perspective. The world tries to sell us something else and to get us off focus, to get us distracted. But then God said, "I'm coming back, and don't get caught sleeping when I come back." 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you. Paul said, when is it going to happen? I don't need to write you because Jesus Christ has already told you when it's going to happen. The times and the seasons, you don't worry about that. I don't need to write it because it's already been written. And that's where it took us to Matthew. If you would turn to Matthew 24 and 3, and this is where we pick up today. So, family, we're talking about the rapture. When you start talking about end time prophecy, the rapture, the second coming, sometimes it gets blurred, and that's a whole nother lesson for another time. But just know that the rapture talks about when God's people are going to be snatched up. Jesus said, I'm coming back for you like a thief in the night. We're going to read that. So at some point in some time, God's people are going to be snatched up. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are alive will meet up with them, with the Lord in the air, and will always be with the Lord. And then we make a note that the rapture can happen at any time. We've talked about it before. Is there anything that you're doing now that would prevent you from being excited about God's return? Something to think about. Is there anything that I'm looking forward to more than God returning? All right, so we get to Matthew 24 and 3. When it gets too cold, let me know. Amen. 24 and 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, he had just talked about the destruction of the temple, the end times, Jesus, speaking of Jesus Christ. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, underline privately, I had you do it last week. Privately. Why? Because we have to get with God privately. And then in verse 4, Jesus answered. So make a note that when we go to God privately, he answers. And they asked him a question. It is okay to ask God a question. It is okay to question God. It is okay. How dare you question God? Well, the disciples question Jesus all the time. God is not out to get us. God welcomes our questions. That's part of the connection. It's part of the relationship. I don't know anybody in a relationship where you can't ask questions. If you're in a relationship and your husband said, don't ask me any questions, that's a problem. If you're dating and your boyfriend says, no, or your girlfriend, no, don't ask me any questions. I think you need to find somebody else to talk to and to date. And parents, as parents, when your kids ask a question, yes, sometimes we say because we said so. That is an answer. That is. That is an answer. And then other times we do go ahead and explain why, but we have a connection with our kids. Rules without a relationship. Thank you, Brother Ivy. It's been stated, rules without a relationship leads to rebellion. You can tell your kids every now and then, I told you so, but you have a relationship with them and they understand that, okay, it's not time to ask that question. They'll come back later because you have a relationship with them. Remember, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. It's hard to tell a kid to do something when you don't. We learn that as teachers. When your students know you don't care about them, man, you need to get out of the business because it's not going to work. And when our kids who we are raising our own kids, if they question whether we love them or not, that's going to be a problem. It's always important you build that relationship. That's why God, you spend time with God. God doesn't care about you asking questions because it's a connection there. It is a relationship there. It's okay to question God. Ask God why and what's going on. You have that relationship. God will respond. So here we are. They pull Jesus together privately and said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world or the age? Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, look at the first thing he said, take heed that no man, that no person, that mankind doesn't deceive you. That word deceive in the Greek, to lead you astray from the right way, to cease you to stray from the truth. Take heed that no man deceive you. Ladies and gentlemen, family, there's a lot of deception out there. It's a lot of Jesus said, look, it's going to be all kind of stuff trying to deceive you. I remember when I was, you know how you don't want to serve God. You don't want to walk right. Anybody ever been there? Like years ago, not like last week or anything. But I would have this line, all religions, they're just like bodies of water. You got a river, you got a stream, you got a pond, you got a pond, you got an ocean. Just like religions, they all contain water. All religions contain truth. So I wanted to be comfortable in the sin I was practicing. That didn't come from the word of God. That was just a form of deception so people could back off. You know, all religions contain truth. That's not the truth. That's not what the word says. It said, make sure nobody deceives you. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If it's not Jesus Christ, salvation, saving God in the flesh, it's not truth. Take heed that no man deceive you. All religions do not contain the truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's a hard word. Look how deception goes so deep. You'll talk to somebody and they'll say, you know what? I don't discuss politics or religion. Man, you're being deceived. You need to get saved. But the deception goes so deep that people won't even discuss it and slide right into hell. What a deception. Well, the deception tells us, I don't want to hear about the truth. I don't have time for that. I don't want to hear about it. It's tough because now, you know, people don't want to be offended. So if you tell someone Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you offended me because I believe something different. Even if it's a lie, even if it's a deception, don't offend me with the truth. All right, here we go. Sister Kathy, I have a read this. I got quite a few read this, so I'm going to. Because, you know, sometimes I'm typing. I don't want to forget certain points. So, Sister Kathy, it says read this. So you know what I should do? Okay. All right. This is not a popular message, but that's part of the deception. That God has sent many rescue plans. Part of the deception now is that we don't want to hurt people's feelings or offend them, even though they might be wrong. And El Shaddai, God the Almighty, is always right. The one who created the universe. And the one, and then goes against the one who can't even balance their checkbook or go from point A to point B without a Google map, can't even tell time without a cell phone, they're offended because of God. And we know we serve a God of specifics, detail, and order, and says, Jesus is the way and Jesus is the truth. But the deception is so strong that they choose to believe a lie. The truth and the life, and no person can be rescued from death, hell, sin, or the grave without Jesus Christ. First thing Jesus said, don't fall for the lies and deception. Don't be deceived. It's a lot of stuff out there. Let's take a look at verse 5. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So a lot of things out there talking about I'm the Messiah, I'm the way. And even in addition to this, it's talking about the churches that's watering down the gospel and perverting the gospel for a whole nother hidden agenda. It's speaking of those churches as well. Don't let no man deceive you. Family, when we talk about, and I know we've been talking about it for at least 3 years, getting up in the morning, 5 minutes a day, spending time with God, at least five. Studying the Proverbs with your worship music, your worship song on, talking to God, praying and fasting because you haven't eaten yet. It's not because we're trying to be religious. It's because, God, I need to hear from you. And there's so much deception out there, and I don't want to be deceived. And I want to have an answer for anyone that asks me, what is the hope that lies within you? We want to have that connection with God. So we don't come here to be religious. We come here to learn how to be connected to God. Amen. It's a lot of false religions, a lot of false teaching. If they stray from this word in any way, you got to question what is really going on. Watered down, self-serving version of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's out there. Be amazed at some of the things that people are saying and then people are following and believing. I love God's word for it, for telling us and instructing us. Jesus said, don't be deceived, first off. Then here we go, verse 6. And he said, you should hear wars and rumors of wars. So here's write this down. Either Jesus is guessing or he's God. Okay? This is written over 2,017 years ago. So either he's guessing or he is God. How can you guess? Let me see. In 2,017 years from now, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Is he guessing or is he God? I mean, so then it changes the whole game for us then. All right, so let's make a note. This is what he said. There should be wars and rumors of wars. See that you don't be troubled. Somebody underline that. See that that doesn't stress you out. I ain't going to even tell you about what's going over in North Korea and Syria and over in Egypt and all those other places. But Jesus said, you're going to hear about all this stuff, but don't let that trouble you. He's already told us, I'm coming back for you. Keep your life in biblical perspective. And kingdom against kingdom. And not only is that kings against kings, but that's the spiritual kingdom against the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light against the kingdom of darkness. Do me a favor. If you want to see the kingdom of darkness in action, just watch something on TV tonight. Just turn on the channel. Listen, let me check out this show and see what's happening. You'll see the kingdom of darkness, right? And the deception. Oh, my gosh. The deception. Ask your kids to show them something on social media. You'll see the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom against kingdom. The kingdom of light is trying to say, don't be deceived. The kingdom of darkness saying, I'm out there trying to deceive you every trip of the train. You don't have to look far. It's going to slide something in that's totally contrary to the truth and to the word of God. Whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's killing, whether it's murder, whether it's homosexuality, they're going to slide it in on you. And then we're the weird ones. Oh, we're going there this morning. We're going to get there. He said, but don't let your heart be troubled, for these things must come to pass. But it's not the end yet. So if we're looking at a clock and we're trying to figure it out, we see these things happening. And we discovered this last time. Everything happens at what time? When we look at a clock, everything happens at what time? Everything happens at what time? Midnight. There you go. So in our time, we discovered that a while ago, so that's okay. That everything happens at midnight, right? Right, Tracy, right. All right. So with everything happening in our day today, is it 11:55? Is it 11:58? Is it just 10:30? I don't know. But we know that it's getting closer to midnight. Wars and rumors of war. Here we go. He said, but the end is not here. The end is not yet. So that's verse 6. So, but what time is it though, Lord? I don't know. I'm thinking it's 11:45 myself, but I could be wrong. For nation shall rise against nation, verse 7, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence. Okay, famines, no food. Pestilence, all types of diseases, and earthquakes. And when you look up the word earthquake in the Greek, is S-E-I-S, seismos. That's where we get the seismology from. But look at that. When you dig deeper into the Greek word, it also means commotion of the air or the ground. So it's not just a ground shaking. It also meant a tempest, a violent windstorm. Or a violent storm. So is it 11? 11:55? Is it 11:45? At what time is it? But then Jesus said, okay, there's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be hurricanes. There's going to be tornadoes. Is he guessing or is he God? How do you predict something like this 2017 years in the future? How do you predict something like that? How did Jesus know it would be happening? The word, what do you say, nations? For nation, the word is ethnos, which is people, humans, same color, different color. He said humans going to be rising against each other. We don't have to look any further than outside or the doors of this building. Earthquakes in different places, earthquakes and storms in different places. It says all these are the beginning of sorrows. When I looked up sorrows, ladies, I think I shared this before. It talks about it's the beginning of your birthing pains. Yeah, the baby's almost due. And all the mothers said, oh, you had to go there. Okay, I did. Sometimes your labor is long, sometimes it's short. Is this a long or short labor? We don't know. Then we get to verse 9. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Wow. Sister Kathy, guess what I got right here? Read this. Okay, all right. That's what I'm going to do. Here what I'm saying, family. It's not really popular to be a real Christian these days. I'm not talking about, you know, when you just go and do your thing and they say, yeah, I go to church and I'm a Christian. Okay, yeah, let's go to happy hour. Let's go get live. Let's do whatever we do. Because God loves us and God forgives everything. It's not talking about that type of Christian. It's talking about the Christian that doesn't compromise on any level. It talks about the Christian, the real Christian. You're going to be hated for his name's sake. The Christian that's compromising, you know, they're loved because they look just like the world. It's no salt, it's no light, it's no conviction, it's no difference. So it's not talking about you, if that's you or the person you know that says they're a Christian, but you can't tell there is no difference. It's not talking about them in this scripture in verse 9. It's talking about the real Christian that doesn't compromise. It doesn't believe in gay marriage or abortion or fornication or shacking up or adultery or deception on any level. That's what it's talking about. You're going to be hated. You're going to be hated. You're hated in today's culture. That Christian is considered closed and narrow-minded, old-fashioned, outdated, Bible-thumping, Jesus-freak, weirdo. You know what you're signing up for. Know what you're signing up for. Outdated, Bible thumping, Jesus freak, weirdo. And get away from us. Because you're messing up our high. Because you're tripping. Get away from us. Make sure you know what you're signing up for. In this culture, you hate it because you take a stand for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So then here's the question. Did Jesus just guess this would happen? How did Jesus know that 2017 years from him being crucified, people are still going to be talking about Jesus and be hated? If God wasn't real, would have died out a long time ago and nobody would care. For example, your brand, your logo, 2017 years, are you still going to be rooting for your same team? Are you still going to be worried about your job 2017 years from now? Is your job still going to be around? How did Jesus know that in 2017 that people still going to be hated for taking a stand for him and offended and get away from me? And you're narrow-minded, you're bigot. I don't have to tell you, but our Christian brothers and sisters are being slaughtered, blown up, beheaded, tortured, and killed in Syria, Egypt, Iraq, and ISIS is taking them to the beach and cutting their heads off unless they deny Jesus Christ. that's happening today. When Christians go to church in Egypt, they don't know if that church is going to get blown up by the ISIS or the other radical Islamics. If we knew this church had a possibility of being blown up today, would you still be coming? Like, Pastor, can we just do this online? Pastor, we need to start a live stream right away, because I ain't coming. I still love the Lord, but I ain't coming. Somebody say amen. I don't even know. I'll be telling you. Yeah, where's Pastor? There on the screen, right there. I love you, South Bay Abundant Life, but I ain't coming in that building, okay? I love you, but I'm loving you from afar. No, but seriously, I mean, that's what they, because you say, well, that's not happening to us, but actually it's happening to the other Christians. It's happening to the other Christians. Our Christian brothers over in the Middle East, they're not denying Jesus Christ, and ISIS is cutting off their heads. They're going to worship, and the church blows up, and people die because they went to worship Jesus Christ. How could Jesus know that this stuff would still be happening 2017 years from when he was, even longer, because the gospel came out, what, a century, 70 years after he resurrected. Most scholars say about 70 years after Jesus Christ resurrected, the gospel came out. And that's why when Paul was talking, he was telling them, even before then, he's, you know, some of you are still alive that witnessed the resurrection. Some people are still alive today that went. You can go ask them, because Jesus appeared to them 40 days and taught them 40 days after he resurrected. And Paul's saying some of them are still alive. So they had plenty of opportunity to say, no, it's a lie. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a joke. It's a practical joke. It's a prank. But it's real. How 2007 and this stuff is happening. Our Christian brothers, all right, I read that part. The U.S. has officially labeled it Christian genocide in the Middle East, over in Iraq when they're being slaughtered. This means you exterminate an entire group of people. In this case, it was Christians. You don't hear much about that on the network news. I told you the kingdom of darkness, you're not going to hear about that. So family, we have to up our game. We can't take a day off from seeking and hearing from God. The enemy's trying to kill, steal, and destroy us as well. It's a different level of spiritual warfare that we go through, but he's still out to kill, steal, and destroy. Destroy your character, your integrity, your good name, your family, your marriage, your kids. And that's why we got to be diligent and be focused, because we're dealing with a different level of spiritual warfare. Is it going to get to that over like in the middle? It could. The rate we're going now, it seems like it could be likely. But either way, we still have to be sober and be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then think about it. How easy, when ISIS approached the Christians, how easy would it be to say, they say, die or convert? How easy would it just be like, hey man, I'm what I gotta say to convert? Okay? Because I ain't dying for this. How easy would it be for them just to convert if God wasn't real? And so we ask the question, is Jesus guessing or is he God? 2017 years is a long time to guess about anything. And I have this written, so I'm going to say it again. Will you still be rooting for your favorite team? Will your brand and logo still be around 2017 years from now? Will your job still be around? The job that's about to kill you, that's stressing you out, working you, splitting you up from your family, will it still be around 2017 years from now? Will it matter? And it says, make sure you're committed in worshiping the true and living God. My wife went to an estate sale, a yard sale, yesterday. Did I tell you my opinion on yard sales? They'll tell you how you feel about yourselves. You know, they say when your wife talks to you, she says one thing, and men, we hear something else. So she says, honey, I'm going to a yard sale. That's what she hits. She says, you know what I hear? I'm going to get somebody else's junk and bring it to our house to add to the junk that we have. Amen. That's what I hear. I'm cringing every time. What kind of junk she going to come home with today? Okay. Tracy knows. I tease her all the time. Honey, I'm going to a yard sale. Going to get some junk and bring it to the junk. There we go. Okay. But she went to an estate sale yesterday. You know, that's after you pass away. And all the stuff you done accumulated, they giving it away. It's just ridiculous. All this stuff that we just accumulate, that we worship, and that we put before God, and then people just come in like vultures. Just go through your stuff. And we all going to get a turn. That's the crazy thing. We all going to get a turn. And, you know, my whole point is make sure we worshiping the real, the true, and living God. Hey, because you know the only thing you get to take to heaven with you is what? Other people. It's the only thing. It's the only thing we get to take to heaven with us is other people. That's why we should all be about God's business. It's the only thing that's going to travel with us. Those estate sales are something else, and I go in there. You know, I'm always the weird one because I see everything. I go in there and I just go right there like, man. And if you read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon went there too, and he got depressed and said, well, all this stuff I didn't, what if somebody stupid comes after me? And all this stuff I've built is going to go to somebody stupid. And then he got depressed and he hated life because he worshiped that stuff. And he didn't know if somebody stupid or somebody smart was going to get it. And so then, you know, that's our dilemma, too. Especially those of us with daughters, you know, I'm holding on to my money. I'm saving it. And then I pass away. And then she marries somebody stupid. Not you, JL. Jamaica probably would. OK. And all this stuff I done worked and accumulated, stupid dude spending my stuff, taking my vacations. The devil is a liar. Matter of fact, I'm going to take off the next month, y'all. I'll see y'all in a month. I'm going to go spend that. Somebody stupid going to have your stuff that you was so into and didn't want to. Oh, I got to. And then my 401k. And then I got it. And somebody stupid going to have it. And you was so into it, you forgot to worship God and you forgot to enjoy it. Solomon said, all you can do is enjoy this gift that God's given. Family, don't waste a day without spending time with God and spending time with those that you love. Don't waste a day because all this stuff it doesn't mean anything. And the only thing we can take to heaven with us is other people. Make that our priority, sharing the gospel with other people. And Jesus is going to speak of that in just a minute. Verse 10. We already talked about it in verse 10. And many shall be offended. The word offended in the Greek means to distrust, to desert, to be displeased and unfavorable. Don't want to have nothing to do with you. Get away from me. And then many shall be offended. Come on now. Is he guessing or is he God? And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Sounds like our government right now. Sounds like our culture and our country right now. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We can't be surprised when you talk to people about God. They don't want to hear it. They into all kind of other stuff. I think I shared this, too, because I go out and do speaking, motivational speaking, all this other kind of stuff. And you should hear the messages that people want to hear. They want to hear that you're in control. You can do this. You can be that. You can. And people reading that stuff up. And God hit me and said, man, those are false prophets. That's a false gospel. God said, that's a false gospel because you can't. And it got this whole demonic thing talking about the law of attraction. And you got to start believing what you're going to attract to. And you got to start making up your side of the bed. I mean, to both sides of the bed, even if you're single, because you're not attracting the person. So when you start making your bed up and you got to clean out your garage and start believing a car, you're going to attract the car to come in there and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's the law of attraction. That's the secret. I had a movie I called The Secret. There's a law. Many shall be deceived. And this is the stuff that's going out on these motivational speaking platforms, and folks is eating it up. Folks is eating it up. And God hit me and said, man, I was sitting there listening like, man, this is, because you're there and you're believing in yourself, you're believing in your business. Okay. But you go, wait a minute. Dude, this is totally contrary to the word of God. These guys are false prophets. Oh my gosh. And it's so smooth and so subtle, but the scripture says many shall be deceived, so I can't be surprised. And they offended. You bet not come in there talking about God. But some will profess that God is good, but they don't say which God. They don't talk about Jesus Christ. They don't talk about the way, the truth, and the life, so you got to be careful. Many shall be deceived. God's truth is Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Is he guessing or is he God? And is God enough? All right, so let's wrap this up for next week. And because of wickedness, verse 12, and because wickedness shall abound, shall just increase, the love, the agape of many shall become frozen. So much wickedness goes on, people are just stone cold frozen. In verse 13 says, he that endure means to remain. Jesus said, you got to remain with me. You got to persevere. You got to be patient and you got to suffer. Uh-oh. That was the translation. He that endure. What does endure mean? He said, you got to remain, family. Stay with me is what he's saying. Persevere. It's going to be tough. They're going to clown you, youth. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to clown you. You're going to be the Jesus freak weirdo. He said, but persevere through that and be patient. And he said, suffer. Nobody wants to hear that type of gospel, but it is tough. It's already written. How did God know? He said, endure to the end and to the conclusion. Stay with God. Don't turn away. And that same shall be saved. You should be rescued. God's going to rescue. God, if I get my head cut off, how am I being rescued? Because God said there's a part of you called the soul that doesn't dissolve upon death. And that transitions right to be with him. And you're rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. That's how you're rescued, with your head cut off. And then, by the way, there's, because of the faith of the Christians, that's another story that hasn't been told. There's quite a few ISIS that are converting to Christianity because of the Christians taking a stand. It's a lot going on, family. It's a lot going on out there. God is moving even in the midst. He says, stay with me to the end. You're going to transition. Just like the thief on the cross, he said, today you should be with me in paradise. He passed away and just transitioned right to paradise. Jesus says, stay with me to the end, to the end, to the end, regardless of what's going on in your life. And one day you're just going to transition to paradise. He said, and he said, verse 14, let's finish with this. And this gospel, and this gospel means salvation through Christ. That's what we're talking about. Rescue through Christ, being saved through Christ. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. The word preach means openly and publicly proclaimed in all the world. The world, this is a different world from the cosmos, which is the orderly system of deception. This world right here in the Greek means the whole inhabited earth. All the earth is going to hear. This gospel will be preached openly and publicly proclaimed in all the world for a witness, a testimony unto all people. That word nations is everybody. And then shall the end come. Then shall the conclusion arrive. Can't say God is not fair. God bless you. Can't say God is not fair. God said, I'm going to give everybody a chance to openly hear the proclaimed word of God. Everybody has a chance. Make your choice. I'm coming. Verse 36, and we'll end with this for real this time. Says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So when somebody tried, remember they were trying to guess a few years, Christ is coming back this time. Yeah. Knock it off. Even if he was coming back that night, he would change it because nobody knows. It changes just because you said, I'm not even, you know, you don't know. Verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And that's where we're going to pick it up next week. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I'm so. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Oh, we got a big mess going on, family. Bow your heads just for a quick minute. Maybe someone's here and, well, let's Lord, we, gosh, Lord, you told us so much. How did you know, Lord? Because you're God. A prophet of God is right 100% of the time. Some people guess and get it right, but Lord, you're right 100% of the time because you are God in the flesh. So Lord, we receive that. Let us live a committed life to you. Because we know you're not guessing. We know you don't sleep and slumber. We know you're not making stuff up. We can read your word and we see how real it is and relevant to today. 2017 years in the future, you told us it was going to happen and it's happening. Bless you. Thank you for your word, Lord. We don't have to guess how to live. You told us, let not our heart be troubled. You didn't give us the word for us to be afraid. You already told us, fear not. Trust in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You told us to be sober and be vigilant. Watch. Since no one knows, watch. Is it 11:59 or is it 11:45? God, we're going to watch. And we're going to live. Not on accident, because you're not guessing. But because you're God, we can live on purpose. So we thank you and we bless you and we receive that. Maybe someone's here and they say, Pastor, I bless you. You say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I mean, I've never been rescued by Jesus. I didn't know Jesus was so deep like that, that he was the rescue plan and the salvation and the was sent on a rescue mission by God. And it's not in all this other stuff, but it's actually in Christ. I want to be rescued. I want to be saved this morning. If you never accepted Jesus Christ, or maybe you're not sure if you're saved, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've been out there and getting into all kind of other stuff and being deceived. And I want to rededicate my life this morning and just walk with Christ. Stay with Christ. Remain with Christ until the end. Not the middle or halfway, but all the way through. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life, I'd love to pray with you. Elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're just looking for a church home. You've been visiting, you haven't made it official, and this morning you want to make it official. From the worship to the word, you feel the presence of God. And we all need a church home. We all need a covering. We need somewhere where the word is taught, where people love God and love God's people. If that's you, you're looking for a church home, elevate your hand while Christians are praying. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you. How we bless you, Lord, how we're challenged this morning to live this thing. Spend time with you each morning. Not as a religious activity, but a relationship opportunity. Give us the courage. Give us the strength. Help us to comfort and strengthen each other with the words. Keep our lives in biblical perspective. Give us the strength to endure being clowned and being made fun of and suffering. Give us the strength to be patient as we're praying for others, as we're loving on others. We bless you for your word. We bless you for this Sunday, Lord. Bless your people. Cover and keep us throughout the week, Lord. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.